Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to What Are You Playing for March 2024. I am Mike Upperton, and who's playing some games with me tonight?
This is Joe Butler, and my revenge this week is ninja-themed.
What are you playing?
It's Nate.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's Michael Colby from Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. And I don't have anything funny to say.
That's fine. I don't either. I'm tired. As I start out a lot of these, I have to start off with what I've been, the only game I've been playing that isn't for the show, Snap. Still playing Marvel Snap, obviously. So one thing that happened in the games right now, we're in the Avengers X-Men season. They are trying new things in Snap. They're trying to improve it. They're adding a little event where if you play Avenger cards or X-Men cards, they'll get a bonus for a week during this event. So they're trying to add new little things to make the game more interesting. You know, and I like it. I could give a shit for the season pass card, which I do have, but I don't care about it. They put Hope Summers in the game. She's okay. And they put a broken card in the game, and it's very seldom where they put a card in the game. Yeah, this will be nerfed within a month. They put Mockingbird in the game, and with the best deck in the game, I can pretty much play her for one cost, which I should not be able to. Let's just say that. So she won't last long as what she is.
Marvel Snap, keeping Mike occupied during boring movies since 2022.
Came out in November. I started playing the game in November of 2022 during the Black Panther season, and I have played the game every day since then. That is also why they get my money multiple times a month. So, hey, they also added another thing to take your money away, where they sell you a gold pass where you pay $5 and then you get so much gold every day for 30 days. And so it gives you a standard to play every day.
And that's different than the battle pass?
Yeah, the battle pass is $10, and that gives you the brand new season pass card, and you get and there's a track that you go through where you unlock stuff, and you get a lot more things you unlock in the season. So pretty much it's a $15 game every month now for me, not to mention the bundles I buy every so often too. So I just love the game. Okay, what can I say? I have fun.
Fault.
It's why so I won't play any other
cards. It hasn't made you want to Marvel snap your phone in half?
No, because I don't give a shit if I lose or not. I don't care if I rank up. Like, normally I always end up in so you have a rank ladder up to 100. At 100, you get a new card back, which sure, it looks cool, but I don't really care. 90, you get 500 gold, which is the premium currency that you pay money for, which would be nice, but I made peace with myself. I always end between the 70 and 80s, and I do that every month, and I'm cool with it. Like, I don't care if I win or lose. I just play the game and play it, and that's all. My goal is just to do the mission that the game gives me, earn all the currency you can get that way, and get new cards.
Is the battle pass kind of like Fortnite's battle pass where you can you get far enough and you just earn what you spent on it, so you can just get the next battle pass for free?
No.
Technically, no.
I mean, you get a lot of, you get stuff more than equivalent to what you, if you would spend $10 normally in the game between currency and cards and stuff, Fortnite, like variants. Okay. But no, you don't, you have to, every month, I have to give them $10.
I just shit out my ass.
But I enjoy the game. Like, I can't help it. It's just a fun game. It's the first mobile game that I've really ever gotten into since Little Kingdom, which wasn't really because of me, because a friend of mine at the time really enjoyed it, so I played it too. But yeah, I love Marvel Snap. So I play a Thanos deck right now still, and I'm only missing 4 cards in the game or so at the moment, but that's about to change real soon. But yeah, no, Marvel Snap's great. I highly recommend it to people. Still do. And I still think you can play it without needing to spend any money. You don't need to be like me. I mean, Kerry, friend of the show, he plays without spending money. You don't need to. I'm just, I don't know. I have issues.
They got you hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, they got me good.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, Mike. I spend like $10 every 2 weeks on like comics and stuff through like Webtoon, so it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I still buy shit on Steam, but the Steam summer sale's going on right, or spring sale's going on right now.
Yeah, when this is over, remind me to get with you, see what fucking games you need to buy before like the summer.
Okay.
I'm annoyed at that. As a new Steam Deck owner as of 2024, like, they already had a monopoly on the summer and winter months, and now they're moving into spring.
Not really a monopoly, just because they're putting on.
Well, sales. Like, they just always have good sales during the summer and winter, and now they're like, oh, also the spring sale.
That's just called capitalism, I think.
Yay!
I don't mind. In this case, I don't mind the sales because, yeah, I buy a lot of shit. Looks fun.
What they should do for Easter is find games that the protagonist died in the first one and then is mysteriously back in the second one. And they should just sell that for Easter.
Oh, I get it. I have a rule of thumb where I buy cheap games on the Steam sale, and then if it's not for the show, it has to be dirt cheap for me to buy it because I might never play it. So that's kind of my rule of thumb.
And then you give it away at the end of the show.
No. All those are double. Normally, what I do is I buy bundles. That's how I get most of my games, is Steam Fanatical and Humble Bundles and stuff like that, where it has to be like majority of the stuff I want, and it'll be a couple things where I already have it. So that's where I get all the keys for the show.
Okay.
Not that I actually buy, except it has happened where I bought a game, forgot I owned it, and then gave away the key. But normally it doesn't happen. And Nate, what is something you've been playing?
Well, it's just a tiny big game called Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Game is incredible and also very long.
Yeah, I've barely scratched the surface of that game. I haven't finished the second chapter yet because of how much bullshit I keep doing. And I also somehow managed to lose 12 hours. Or not 12 hours, 2 hours.
Fun, right?
Okay. I will say the open world stuff scratches a piece of my lizard brain where it's very generic so far, but like I just like hanging out with these characters. So I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah, my big issue with the game is the funny thing of what do you do with a man who has everything? Because I'm just standing there at this fucking, I'm just staring at this map, and it's like, you can go do this and you can go do that. And I'm just like, oh, there's too much. And I'm just so tired. I'm such an old man.
And you're the youngest one out of all of us, I'm pretty sure, right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I can answer your question, and that's play Queen's Blood.
Queen's Blood is hard.
What the hell is
Queen's Blood? It is hard.
I've heard people talk about it, but I don't know what it is.
It is a three-lane card game where there's like, so you start off with like one pawn in each lane, and then like your cards can cost up to three pawns, and like you want to increase the number of pawns from like one to two to three so you can get higher cost cards with like special abilities and stuff. And then, have you heard of crack cocaine?
yes, I have.
But then, like, so it doesn't matter who controls the lane on either side, so long as you have more points at the end, you win. So, like, if your opponent has control of two lanes with a score of like 4 and 3, but you control the third lane with a score of 8, like, you win because you have.
Oh, I get it. 8. Okay.
It is very hard, but it is very fun. And also, I swear to God, Neil in chapter 2 net decked. Like, he just looked online and bought all the good cards.
Okay, I'm curious to see how far it goes in the series, because like, before it ends.
Like Final Fantasy VII as a whole?
Yeah, like, I'm wondering how far they're going to get before it finishes up.
So, as of right now, I know it's, so, part one, which is Remake, is the first disc. This part two, or which is Rebirth, they have confirmed it is the second and third disc, and they have also confirmed, which is not a spoiler because they said it, that the game does end with Aerith's death, or in some form of it. And then the third game, which will be the end of which I guess would probably be the main trilogy, is going to be the last game. They haven't confirmed if they're going to do a remake of Dirge of Cerberus. They haven't confirmed if they're going to be making any spinoffs or anything like that. But as of right now, that is the main base that they're going with.
Oh, okay. I mean, nah. I don't know. I'm curious about it, but it's just like, I still have yet to play the remake, and I just, yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, if you were interested in playing the remake on PlayStation 5 before Rebirth came out, they had a really good deal where you paid $70 and you got both Remake and Rebirth. But that has since jumped up to $100.
No, I own the original anyway on PS4, I think, or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy it on Steam, but it hasn't gone cheap enough.
No, it's on sale right now, I think, for $40.
Like I said, it hasn't gone cheap enough.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, it's on sale currently.
I was just looking at it, like, but no, it's got to get, like, under $20 to get my attention. But I just don't care, unfortunately. I'm just not that interested.
Hey, that's fair.
I don't know. Like, I like Final Fantasy, and I loved, I mean, I enjoyed 7, and I was excited when it came out, and I thought I would have played Remake by now, but I've just never cared enough to make any effort. So, yeah, just rather play older games, I guess.
I have nothing to add to this conversation.
I know. I know you're not a Final Fantasy VII guy. Or Final,
look,
yeah.
look, it's a big game from what I've seen. They change a lot of the story, and they also do, but they also don't. And everything's been remastered to look great and fantastic. I can now ride a chocobo. The blue chocobo now pisses water out of its ass to fly, which is also really fucking weird. You can date
on that chocobo front. Red 13 rides a chocobo, and it's the best.
He's in the game now.
Red is the best.
Red 13 also walks like a human at one point in the Shinra suit, which is like the most jarring thing you could probably see in the entire game.
It's so good.
That shouldn't happen.
No, it's great.
Yeah, no, everything about Red 13 is dialed up to like everyone in this game is dialed up to 11, and I'm so glad because it's not really spoilers if it's in the trailer. So some stuff I've seen, some not. One thing I have seen, which is the reveal of what is up with Red 13, and I think that's probably the funniest part they could have done with this game.
Someday I'll get to it. I know, like, Carrie in the Discord had made a comment. He's like, he's getting the FOMO because everyone's talking about it. So he's playing the 7 remake he's had for 4 years. And I get it. Like, I'm getting a little of that FOMO, but thankfully I have a year-long schedule that tells me, no, Mike, no. So it's okay.
If I may, the game is just really funny too, like unexpectedly funny. Like there's like a part early on where like Cloud goes, oh, it'll be 2000 gil, and Aerith goes, oh, that's enough for 2 standard courses, right? And it's a callback to Remake where you get like a hand massage, and that's in big quotes. And Cloud goes, what? And then, like, Aerith starts to, like, talk more about it. And he goes, no, hush. It's just, like, it's really funny, you know?
Yeah, there's another clip that I've seen where I guess you're, like, climbing up Mount Nibble. And Aerith's, like, talking about how great she feels. And she can, like, keep climbing. And Cloud's like, what the fuck is up with her? And Red 13's like, oh, they call it, like, climber's adrenaline, and it's because she's never breathed air so fresh. She's like basically high right now.
Okay,
which tracks because she lived in the city of Midgar, you know, like,
and she lived in the slums.
Yeah, game is I'm having a blast with it.
Oh, that there's a whole thing that I could talk about, like, on it, but it goes for every Final Fantasy game where like all of them have enough backstory and everything and kind of things that are really goofy. But I sure love sitting there starting up Rebirth. And one of them is, as if someone says something, but it's along the lines of like, oh yeah, we need to have democracy in Midgar and not let the rich people run our government and then let more rich people do whatever they want. And I'm like, yes. Yeah, people still miss the point of this game.
It's not political. We're just fighting Sephiroth.
People miss the point of any game if it's political. Like, they just don't. I don't know if they don't want to get it or if they just actually don't get it, but it's frustrating. Like, it's frustrating when people are like, oh, get politics out of our video games. It's like, that's literally always been there.
You're playing Wolfenstein. What are you talking about?
Like, yeah, Star Trek. People get upset about Star Trek.
You're playing fucking Metal Gear. Like, people think it's just like a cool army game. It's fucking not.
That's just a bro game.
With Metal Gear, like, the game is very obviously, you know, political.
Also very people homoerotic. Are that
dumb. Yeah,
people just
thank
don't
you.
Want it to be.
I couldn't think of the word homoerotic, Joe. Thank you. I was gonna say it's just two gay bros hanging out. Like, it's just Metal Gear Solid, dude.
I don't mind political stuff usually, because, well, usually the political stuff is more left-wing orientated than not. So I'm okay with
it. I agree with that.
Luckily, I don't have Twitter, so I haven't really seen too much of if there is a discourse about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth being political. But, like, the game was political in 1997. Like, it's not like they added stuff. You know, they added stuff, but, you know, it's not like they were like, oh, yeah, I guess this game is about, like, saving the planet, you know?
Like, I don't think people, like, as a nation, I think we're much more divided than we were in 1997. Yeah. So that's part of it. Twitter's a cesspool. Well, and the very simple aspect, people have ways to easily ditch about things and run away, especially Twitter. So, because you're not really, you know, they're not going to find you.
Mike, are you telling me that in 1997, the thought of people being rich and being part of our government was such a joke gag for a game that we are literally living in the worst timeline where it does actually end up happening?
We're suffering the consequence.
Yeah.
Everyone that's ever been president really is rich. And some, you know, like, that's just how that works.
And they get paid. Like, once you're president, you get paid for the rest of your life. which is just like crazy.
Well, to be fair, usually you're in your 70s when it happens. So, hey, your life ain't that long.
Yeah, unless you're a modern president, then it's then you're 80 when you're president. Stupid. I was just talking about this at work. I was like, there's a minimum age that you can be to be president. There should be a maximum age that you can be. And that's 65 is probably too. It.
Yeah. I saw there's a comedian on TikTok. His name's Troy Bond. And he had a bit who was like, I didn't want to vote for Joe Biden again. Like, I thought we all agreed in 2020 he was the placeholder. Yeah. And this guy comes out and he's like, I've run it again. Bitch, you can't even walk.
Yeah, I would prefer not to have to vote for Biden again.
Right.
But I mean, if I have to.
It's probably, yeah. Like,
your choices are limited.
Yeah, yeah. It's obnoxious.
I'd much rather his senile old ass than fucking
Trump's senile old ass. Someone
creating genocide.
I mean, they're both. Yeah. I mean, that's, I always laugh when people are like, he's senile. Like, do you not see the other guy that you're rooting for? Like, both are senile. Like, come on now. Don't act like.
And they are both part of a genocide. So, like, I'm not worried about that either.
I did laugh. Sorry for people listening. We're going political. But I did laugh when somebody was like, he's 81. He shouldn't be president. He's too old. I'm like, you do know the other guy's like 2 years younger, right? Like, yeah. Like, come on barely, now. Like,
yeah, barely any younger.
Not much of a difference.
I don't apologize for getting political.
Remind me to tell y'all something after the podcast.
And Mike, what is something you've been playing?
Oh, I mean, I was just talking shit on your guys' like apparently amazing game. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Oh, I
hate it.
Okay, good. No, I'm glad. I'm not going to talk about this game, but I am going to mention that it's on Game Pass. And if you want to hear my thoughts on it, the episode about Control came out last week, so it's probably 8 or 9 episodes back since Mike puts out 2 episodes a day.
Not true, but it's close.
But Control is on Game Pass, and if you haven't played it and you have Game Pass, play Control. That's all I have to say about Control. You can hear us talk about it for 2.5 hours if you go back a couple episodes. But what I have been playing is a little game called Brotato.
Heard of this. Oh yeah.
This thing is it's an auto shooter like Vampire Survivors. And I am a sucker for auto shooter games. I love them. But this is wave-based, like arena wave-based, and you know, they get harder. There's a ton of characters, a bunch of weapons, a very simplistic art style. But if you want to be, you want to talk about crack cocaine, this game, like I would think about builds when I wasn't playing the game. Like, oh, I bet if I did this with this character, it would work better. It's addictive. And then, I mean, I got through everything. I got all the achievements and I haven't played it since. So like, that's exactly the sort of thing I like. I love a game where I can play it and beat it and then not have to think about it anymore. It's an amazing time while you're playing it. And it's also, like I said, it's wave based. So like if you just want to jump in for a game and spend 10 to 12 minutes playing a game, this one's perfect.
All right.
It's again on Game Pass. I think it came out originally on phones. It's like $5.
It's on sale right now, too, on Steam.
Yeah, dude,
you're hearing this right when it comes out.
It's just really fun. I mean, it's nothing special. It's not amazing. It's not going to blow your socks off. But if you're looking for something that's just fun, man, what a fun game.
See, that's where Vampire Survivors broke me after a while, because every run was half an hour or more.
Yeah, these are much shorter runs than Vampire Survivors.
Okay. I mean, Vampire Survivors was short until you play it enough.
Yes.
It
ain't short. Yes. The good thing about Vampire Survivors, though, is you can close your laptop and it'll just keep playing. And if you have your character where they're supposed to be and everything's like auto leveling, it'll just still be going when you like open it up the next day. And you'll have 40 million gold and, you know, have 200 million kills or whatever. It's Vampire Survivors fucking ridiculous.
I don't play it anymore. It's always installed on my Steam Deck, and I buy every DLC, and I played a bunch of them, but
yeah. Yeah, I whenever there's a new update, I get it and, you know, get the achievements and then, you know, don't play it for a while because, like you said, those runs are long. But Brotato's really scratching that itch of,
that's good,
you know, a waiting in line game, you know, get your mind off of Marvel Snap, play on your phone, you know, while you're sitting at the DMV type of game.
I did play Marvel Snap at the DMV not too long ago.
I'm just trying to get you to I want to be on an episode of this show where Marvel Snap is not talked about.
Not a what are you playing? You need a time machine.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It will when the game shuts down eventually, but hopefully no time soon. Hey, man, Marvel Snap's good, okay?
I know. I'm just talking
shit. Oh, I get it, though. Oh, I completely get it. I can't believe I play the game and I have a goal in Marvel's map that I'm trying to get all these pixel cards because people hate the pixel variants. So I want to make a whole deck of just nothing but pixels to irritate people.
That sounds fucking awesome, though. I'm not
gonna and I really like them.
Why do they hate pixel variants? Like,
because some are really ugly. I will. For those that know, the Hell Cow one will know what I'm talking about. For those that know, I will send you guys a picture of the Hell Cow thing that I'm talking about that I have, by the way. But no, because I'm a big fan of Avengers. The SNES game when I was a kid, it makes me really appreciate seeing pixelized versions of the card. But, I mean, there's just so many beautiful variants in the game that people get upset because they'd rather have other variants than seeing the pixel stuff. Because there's some really beautiful variants.
I don't know. This Storm one is really cool.
I was going to say, when I played, I liked all the pixel variants. I was like, these are cool designs. And I love that you can just, like, that there are those different like artist variations on it.
God damn it. I'm sorry I brought up Snap.
I'll keep it short.
We got it back. No, these pixel variants that Hellcow are great. That's awesome.
Some are good. That Hellcow has a hog.
I have
that Hellcow. That guy is loaded.
I have a lot of pixel variants because I will pay gold when I see them in the shop to get them. I just don't have enough to run a good deck.
These X-Men pixel ones look awesome. Like, all the X-Men ones look really cool.
Some look really... They're not today in Silk. I got lucky. But no, I just... Yeah, people... The MODOK is the worst. If you look up MODOK, you'll... Yeah, people hate the MODOK.
The Hellcow one's not that bad.
People hate it. But also, part of the hate comes from when you spend... You open up a box, and you're hoping to get something. You get a pixel variant, people get upset. Mm. But again...
I'm looking at one X-Men one that's bad.
Which one?
Well, it's from the worst X-Men. Cyclops. Looks terrible.
I have that one, I think.
Psylocke looks good. Rogue looks good. All right. Anyway, Brotato. Cheers. Check it out. It's great.
I guess why Galactus, not that long ago. I like the Galactus one a lot. I really Galactus want fucking good. Hawkeye one. And it was in the shop, but I couldn't get myself to spend real money to buy the fucker. And I haven't seen it since. So next time, I don't play him. That's the problem. I won't use him. But Hawkeye is one of my favorite characters in Marvel for some reason. I know why. But that Avengers game. But yeah. Hawkeye and Vision. You're right, that Storm one is really good. I want that Storm one. I haven't gotten her yet. So, Joe, what is something else you've been playing?
Speaking of getting political, I have joined the army of Super Earth. I have put on my fancy little cape, and I have become an official Helldiver for Helldivers 2.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything. So what is Helldivers 2? I've heard people talk about it, and I don't know anything about it.
Helldivers is it's a game, but it's basically it's a live service game which you can play without spending money, because part of the whole thing is that I can't think of what it's called, but it's like a live service game. So like actually going to planets and like killing enemies and doing like the missions actually does do something for the game.
Yeah, and it happens in real time.
Real time.
Is it on Game Pass?
It's not on Game Pass. It's only on PS5 and PC as of right now.
Oh, so that, okay.
And crossplay.
It's crossplay.
Okay, yeah. I've seen a lot of people play it, and I know an asshole guy that I thought it was on Game Pass because he was playing it, and he was telling his girlfriend she had to pay part of his bill because he didn't have money. Okay, that makes more sense.
You promised you wouldn't bring that up.
That's okay. She won't hear. He won't. Neither of them will hear this comment.
What was I going to say? Yeah, it's all happening in real time. It's funny because it's happening in real time, people are actually like freaking out because they want Xbox to join because we're getting our asses kicked. But part of that also has to do with people are just fucking stupid. The game actually does have in-game upgrades. So there's like a there's a regular battle pass and then like a super battle pass. And as long as you do missions that get you medals, what you're supposed to do is use those medals to get better equipment to fight better enemies. Like one thing that, it's really weird because I've been playing with my husband and then one of my husband's friends also plays. So I'm like level 3, which is just the cadet. My husband's like level 6 and he's like a super citizen. And then our friend that he plays with, he plays solo because he's an absolute psychopath and he's like level 32 and he just looks like a... He looks like a space emperor and he's got like a big helmet with like a big crown on it. And like, I think like his title's like Supreme Overlord or something like that.
Okay. It's a third person shooter where you fight like bugs and you fight robots and stuff.
Yeah. So there's two sides of the faction that's going on right now. There's one where you fight bugs, which are basically just the bugs from Starship Troopers. And what is it though? That's pretty much the easier parts of the game. The bugs go down pretty easily. Things like that. Where people are having issues with is the robot side, where there's like literally like Terminators who they have factories that basically reproduce robot. And part of like that, the battle pass that I'm talking about that people didn't know you're supposed to do is that the further you go in, you actually get better guns and the guns are supposed to have armor piercing. And of course, armor piercing works against metal enemies.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So
people not read or what?
People can't read. They think you're just supposed to use the baseline armor and buy the nice pretty armor from, because there's like one of those things you can do too, which is usually during live service game where like every 48 hours they put up like new armor that you can buy with real money. But I've had it's a pretty fun game. Funny enough, someone mentioned it. They think that the reason why it's Sony that's mostly pushing this out is they think they use the engine from Metal Gear Solid 5. Because like you can dive and like you can dive on your back and you can like army crawl backwards while shooting at enemies. And it creates for such like a weird fucked up gameplay of trying to like back crawl away from bugs while you're almost about to get your fucking torso eaten alive. It's pretty fun. It's fun with friends. People who play it single player are fucking freaks. I apologize if anyone listening to this plays by yourself.
Well, I mean, is it just like you just like enter a round and you just play around with other random people, right? If you're playing single player?
No, you can play by yourself. You can straight up go down there and play by yourself.
Is the game easier?
No, it's not easier. So there's difficulty levels too. So and it's funny too, because there's different planets can have different things. So that's like one planet that's normal. And you can go to another planet where it's like half on fire or there will be random meteors falling from the sky. And I know I saw someone posted on like TikTok that like there's another part of bug planets where you have to go to. And the whole point is to like activate towers that shoot out insecticide that's going to eventually slowly kill the enemies. Because like the whole main theme is just spraying democracy for Super Earth. But the one thing that I think is funny that people have never, that it's proven the fact that we're doomed to repeat cycles, is that people have never seen Super Troopers and don't understand that we're the bad guys.
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, yeah.
And Super Troopers, very different movie.
Very different movie. But there's radio signals coming from like the robots, and it's so fucked up because you can people have actually decoded them, and it's just the robots being like, please stop killing us, we just want to live in peace. If you leave, we promise we will stop killing the people that you send to our planet to destroy us, so just please stop doing whatever you're doing. And it's just like really fucked up. But
yeah, but that, Malevolon Creek did fall, so
and
take it back.
And that goes to a whole thing too where some guys like are one of the creators apparently has like a dev build where he plays as the enemy, like
Joel.
Yeah, and so he's like well, because the whole point is he's like, people weren't taking the game seriously. We've told people to, because I guess you can not finish missions and then like still get exp from it, so people have been exp farming without completing missions. So he's like, fine, you guys want to fuck around, we're gonna find out. And now like a whole planet's already lost.
Okay, I remember I've seen the memes about Malevolon Creek and I'm like, what the hell are people talking about? But I thought this game was like some free game or something that then had microtransactions.
Well, we all thought it was going to be bad. Like it was like the opening for like every PlayStation 5 Direct for the last like 3 years. And people thought it was like a cash grab and it was just going to be something, but it's actually pretty decently fun. I say right now the meta is just the shotgun, and I played with the shotgun and it's pretty fun. So I think it's pretty all right.
I'll never play it, but it looks cool.
What are you saying, Nate?
My concern with it when it was being shown off was like, because I played a lot of Helldivers 1, which was like a isometric game with the same, like, it's everything is the same in Helldivers 2. They just put it in 3D. So my concern was that it was just going to lose a lot of that like charm and fun that made the first one so good. But I'm glad that it did not. I'm not playing it, but I've been like watching every meme, you know, like I'm red hot on this game that I don't even own.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with enjoying it through just everyone else. Like there's a lot of games where, like, this is something that I'll just experience through hearing about it. I'll never actually, because I will not play online. Not happening. I can't do it. Too busy.
Yeah, I don't like games that don't have endings. Like, it stresses Same. Me out so bad. It stresses me out so bad to have a game without an ending. That's why, like, even Stardew Valley and shit like that, like, these games that everybody's like, oh, these are my comfort games, they make me stressed out. Like, and I'm the type of psycho who plays Dark Souls to calm down. So like whenever anybody's like, oh yeah, Stardew Valley, it's so relaxing, I'm like, that stresses me out so much worse, just because there's no ending to it. It's just like, you just keep playing this game forever, and I'm like, fuck that.
I mean, I like that if I was a child.
There is an ending to it, and that's when the automatons and the bugs take us over.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll experience that through YouTube.
I'm just saying, you're not doing your part for democracy.
No, either. I'm not. I'm definitely not. I am a conscientious objector.
I just thought it was like a free game or something, the way people were talking about it. I haven't looked up anything about it. I just wasn't that concerned. I just see the memes. Okay. With the way it was hyped, I figured it was a Game Pass or a PS Plus or something of that nature where people are getting it for free. Like how Pal World was. Some people for Pal World had it on a Game Pass and were playing it nonstop.
Well, like I said, when I first saw it, I thought it was a fucking scam. Like I was fully expecting it to be like a game where it's like, oh, because like I said, every PS5 Direct was just them opening with this game, and like I never pay attention. I didn't give a shit. But the gameplay, so
they were selling you Razor Cash, is what you're telling me.
But what was it? It ends up being pretty good. The gameplay is pretty solid. It's a pretty good third person shooter. Like I said, I legit think that they just used the engine, the Fox engine from Metal Gear Solid 5 to make this game. So I mean, it plays well, so fuck it.
I mean, not like Konami was going to use it for anything, so mm-hmm. We're not getting our Metal Gear Solid game from them ever, probably, so.
And we shouldn't.
I haven't played Survive, but I want to.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't.
Oh, this might be fun with friends. It is not.
Yeah, no.
I would play not solo. Even, I don't play with
Not friends. Even as someone who enjoyed Gotham Knights, would you enjoy Metal Gear Solid Survive?
Survive tries way too hard, which is also really fucking funny, too.
I'm curious about Metal Gear Survive. I have it on Steam, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
Of course, you would end up being the one who likes that game.
I do end up liking notoriously bad games sometimes. I love Gotham Knights. I thought Gotham Knights was fucking incredible.
To be fair, if they had showed off Metal Gear Solid Survive and not call it Metal Gear Solid Survive, I actually think we'd be a pretty okay game, because I played a little bit of it, and it's just the whole thing too, where I like zombie survival as well, and it played like Metal Gear Solid 5, which I absolutely love the gameplay for that game. I think the game for that game is like a perfect third person like sneaking game. So
I should really play it one day.
Yeah,
put it on the schedule 2025.
No, we have.
The funny thing is, you know, the whole schedule 2024 is already.
Well, we have like three more games to get through as well, so we can't put it on the podcast as soon as possible.
No.
I, as a Metal Gear Solid fan from childhood, where when I learned about the Watergate scandal in school, I was like, that shit's from Metal Gear. Like, that's from a video game teacher. Metal Gear Solid 5 is one of the most disappointing games I've ever played, where the gameplay is so, so good, but then everything else in it is just garbage.
Well, like,
garbage.
Since you got me on that, I watched a Cold War documentary on Netflix they just put out, and I found out, they did not teach us in high school, that the Berlin Wall, when it goes down, it's completely by accident, because the fat guy, this big fat guy who was in charge of the government, who was media relations, but when you're a dictatorship, they're like, yeah, you don't need a media relations because you just tell them what to print. He didn't finish reading the paperwork, and he said, you can leave, and it's supposed to be, you can cross, but with permission, and he didn't read with permission, so everyone just ran at the wall. And then ended up getting tore down that night. It was completely by accident. He didn't read the paper right. And that's I never amazing. Knew that. Like, history books just said, yeah, the Berlin Wall comes down. They didn't tell me it was because some guy didn't read the papers right. And they were talking, they were at interviews, like, they had stuff from a guard. They were like, yeah, he's like, there were 100 people. I called and said, what do you do? Do usual. No one goes through. 200 people show up. What do I do? Same thing. Don't let anybody through. 1,000 people show up. He's like, yeah, fuck it. Open the gates. Because it was like, people just kept coming. They're like, yeah, he said we can leave. So there's your fun fact that I didn't know. Also really good fucking documentary, by the way, about the Cold War that will not make it's really sad when you think about it. So maybe not watch it. It's kind of depressing.
Can I go next? I don't even know Please. If it's my turn. But that is such a perfect segue into I played all of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, which is the worst title in the world. But that game is really fun.
That's the newest Black Ops one, right?
Yeah, that's the 2021. Yeah.
Is that like a whole like single player campaign?
Oh, yeah.
OK.
And that campaign is surprisingly decent. Like, I didn't play Black Ops 3 because it just did not interest me. Plus, seeing Christopher Maloney, I just kept thinking of Law and Order.
Yo, he's in that?
I'm 20% sure. I could be confused with someone else. Josh, is it Josh Brolin? There's someone in World War II that starts with, Josh Duhamel. Josh Duhamel is in World War II. And then I think it's Christopher Maloney in Black Ops 3. But anyway, Black Ops Cold War is a lot of fun. The story is pretty good. And I didn't touch the multiplayer because I didn't want to.
That's fair.
But I got it free through PlayStation Plus forever ago. And I needed something to tide me over to Rebirth. And I said, why not this Call of Duty game I never played?
I would enjoy them more if they weren't $20 on sale on Steam.
Yeah, it's wild. I just want them to remake Black Ops 2 and just give me Black Ops 2 again, because that's my personal favorite Call of Duty.
Give it like 5 years. They've already rehashed the entire Modern Warfare Black Ops.
Oh, my God. Look, I was hot and heavy for Modern Warfare 2019. Like, I would go to bat for that game. I thought it was phenomenal. Weird war crime washing history aside, you know, where they said, the Russians did this, but it was really the U.S. who did it. The gunplay in that game is really good. And then Modern Warfare 2 and 3 are awful. Like, just not good games. And it bums me out.
All right. We did Modern Warfare for this show, but that's
yeah, I also have nothing to add to a Call of Duty conversation.
I turn into a what the cool kids call a basic bitch in the fall. It's pumpkin spice lattes and the new Call of Duty.
I mean, if you're playing multiplayer, it's worth it. If you're playing it with your friends and you're having fun, it's worth it in that case.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I don't know. I don't like killing humans in games is my problem.
How if they're possessed by the hiss?
If they're possessed by the hiss, then they're monsters. I don't mind killing monsters or zombies or anything like
darkness?
That.
The darkness?
They're monsters. They're monsters, monsters, monsters.
What about Max Payne 1?
But they yell out things in Alan Wake 1 that is reminiscent of their human lives.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But when you kill them, you can't get that darkness or hiss out of them. So they are gone.
What about Max Payne?
Max Payne is different. there's some games that I guess it's when it got really realistic. Like when I have to kill realistic looking humans, I feel bad. Unless they're Nazis, then I'm fine. but like to kill just like some enemy soldiers or like even in GTA, I'm like, I don't want to kill these people. This sucks.
No, that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fair.
If you do want to kill Nazis in a Call of Duty video game.
I do. Oh.
Which okay. I get.
But you're talking about in a video game.
Well, depending on how things go, you might be able to in real life.
Look, listen, real talk. Once when my oldest was younger, when she first started hitting us, I said, it's not okay to hit people unless they're Nazis. And my wife goes, don't teach her about Nazis.
I mean, to be fair, she's going to learn it anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, they're surprisingly making a comeback. I thought they were all defeated and dead, but like, apparently they're back. But Call of Duty World War II, that one is also another game that surprised me. There is a very, I'll just spoil it because probably no one is ever going to go back and play it. But there's a part where you walk through a concentration camp, and it was very just touching to me that I was doing that in a Call of Duty game, you know? And like it was
That's a slippery slope, depending on how they do it. So
Huh?
Yeah.
But right, and you don't fight anybody there. Like, you're kind of like exploring, not even exploring it. You're just like walking through it, and you're like, fair. Your team is kind of like piecing together what's going on.
I mean, that is know? What happened. So,
and yeah, and they're like, they're like, what the fuck is this? You know. And it's very touching. And like, I think they even have like some real photographs that like pop up like as you're looking around.
I will never get over how people are like, it didn't happen. It's fake. I'm like, my God, people.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Yeah. What a very politically charged. What are you playing?
It is actually it really is. That's all.
And if we're, you know, if we're going on political stuff, it is always OK to punch a Nazi. But yeah.
So, Colby, what is something else you've been playing?
Oh, let's get away from politics for a minute. I picked up a game on PlayStation for $4 that I heard bad reviews of, but looked interesting. It's called Extinction, and it's sort of, it's like goblin and orc type things, but like some of them are giant. So it's like, what is that anime? Attack on Titan. So you're sort of defending your town from this, from these giant like goblin things, and you have to like destroy their armor. It's not good, but it was $4. And it's level based. So like, they'll be like, I have no idea what the story is because I've been skipping every single bit of dialogue because it's very poorly written. But the movement in the game is very fast and very fluid. The combat is fine. It's very mashy, but it's fine and fun. And then you have to like break the armor off of these giant things and then like cut their legs off to make them fall down. And then you climb up their backs and you chop their heads off to kill them.
Oh,
I know this game.
Yeah.
I've never played it.
It's whatever it like costs normally, it is not worth it. But if you can get it on sale for less than $10, I would definitely recommend it if you're looking for something just dumb to play.
It's $4 on Steam if you're listening to this right when this comes out.
Okay, yeah, I think when I bought it yesterday, there was only 8 hours left of the sale, so it's probably not on sale on PlayStation anymore, but wishlist it, and, you know, when it goes on sale for $5 again, you know, pick it up, because there's nothing wrong with the game, like, it plays well, it's just, I can see it getting boring after a while, if that's, like, what you're playing. But as far as something like in between, you know, whatever heavy thing you're playing, like I'm playing Alan Wake 2 again, and we'll talk about that in, what, a couple months? A
few months, yeah.
So like in between like the heavy chapters of that, I'm like, all right, let's do a palate cleanser. And I'll either do like a Rayman Legends, you know, daily, or I'll just like play around to that. And it's like a great palette cleanser game.
It looks fun. I picked it up in a Humble Bundle or a Fanatical Bundle a long time ago.
Yeah, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, the movement it's so fast and so fluid, and like the combat is fun, and the platforming is, I don't know if I would call it platforming, but like you know, you can run up buildings and you can run off trees and you'll launch off of them. It's like, it's so smooth. Killing the giants is funny because, you know, you're chopping their limbs off and they stumble around and fall down, and it's all ridiculous.
Okay.
How does the combat feel? Like, what is the combat play the closest? Like,
I would say any platinum game from like 2010 to 2015.
Okay.
It's sort of just so running like around, and it's Bayonetta-y. In that
there's no sexy witch.
There is no sexy witch. You're the most generic looking like fantasy protagonist you've ever seen. Just like,
okay, I'm back in.
Slim buff guy with a beard.
It looks cool. I'm watching IGN review of it. It actually looks fun.
It's fun, but Don't pay $40 for it. Mm-hmm. You will be.
I will wishlist it. I think it's 30 regularly on Steam.
It's 30 regularly, $40 for the deluxe edition,
That's what I got for $4 was the deluxe edition.
7.5 hours.
Yeah.
So that's too long.
That's a nice range, if you ask me. Like,
it's again for a discount. It's definitely fun.
It has 3 DLCs that you get.
Yeah,
but I'm sure I don't care about.
You will once you get there. Does it have Queen's Blood?
Oh. I don't. It came out in 2018. God, I didn't even realize this game exists. Like, I forgot this game existed. Thank you.
Yeah. See, so did I.
That's what I like about these episodes is you find like just weird shit, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. I love it. Part of the fun. It's people like, I mean, unfortunately, I'm too busy with what I play for the show that I don't really experiment and just play random stuff. But I like getting people on that do so I can just hear about new stuff. You know, like Extinction has never been on my radar, even though it's in my Steam library. And now I'm like, 7.5 hours, maybe one day when I'm ahead of the show, be like, hey, who wants to talk about this weird game?
Whenever you decide to do that, I'll be done with it. And I'm sure I'll have some more thoughts on it. Right now, all I can say is that the gameplay is very good.
Okay. Anytime soon.
No.
I'm almost behind at the rate I'm going right now. So this week. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I haven't played Half-Life 2 enough.
Hmm.
All right. And Joe, do you have any other games you want to mention?
Yeah, I got one more I'd like to mention. Okay. I played the demo for Dragon's Dogma 2. Played about 2, maybe 3 hours of it, you know, fool around with it. And I know you might be asking yourself, Dragon's Dogma 2 demo, wasn't that just a character creation? Yeah, I spent 3 hours on character creation for fucking Dragon's Dogma 2.
You had me. I was like, wasn't that just a character creator though, Joe?
Yeah, when you can go from everything up to where you want your ass to be up high or down low, so you can also like pick what teeth you have in your mouth, to where literally one of the characters, like two of the characters' hairs, one is just V from Devil May Cry 5, and the other one is just straight up Leon Kennedy's hair from like Resident Evil 4. You go, oh yeah, I forgot this was made by the fucking Resident Evil engine, but you can go everything from what tattoos you have on your body to how your character walks.
That's too much.
Yeah, to how
I'm into it. You sold me on this
how
demo.
You can change how long your torso is. Like, it's just all kinds of like legit like terrifying customization. And that's just the human part, because you can also choose to be a cat person.
That's too much.
Oh, I know somebody in the Discord who's going to be happy about that.
Yeah, so
I never played the first Dragon. Well, I lied. I played a little bit of Dragon's Dogma 1.
Go buy right now.
Maybe 10 hours. I have it on PlayStation 4. I bought it for $5 when Dragon's Dogma 2 was announced.
That's the perfect price for it. If you haven't played Dragon's Dogma yet, go play it right now. If you haven't played Dragon Dogma yet, just go play 2. 2 is just the fucking full remaster of the first one with more shit in it. So if you haven't played the first one, just wait till the second one comes out.
There was one part in Dragon's Dogma 1 where I couldn't find a guy I needed to talk to. And like, I was going to the waypoint and I was getting like a little irritated because it was a house. And I was like, I've talked to everyone in this house and he's not here. And I said, I'm going to look on the roof. And if this motherfucker's on the roof, I'm going to turn the game off. And that motherfucker was on the roof. I just standing chilling on the roof. And I was like, that's pretty funny game.
Oh, no, it's okay. Mike, do you like Dark Souls? I know you like Dark Souls, right?
I do, yeah. Been a while, but I do.
What about you, Mr. Colby? You also like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dark Souls is my whole jam.
Have you played Dragon's Dogma yet?
I have, and I also had the same sort of problem where I got lost looking for someone and I couldn't progress, and I just got annoyed with it.
Yeah, that game's unbelievably goofy. You can accidentally kill NPCs and then lock yourself out of missions.
Yeah, I think that may have happened, but I was really enjoying it while I was playing it. But then as soon as I couldn't progress, I was just like, you know what? I do still have Dark Souls.
Yeah, and your roll speed depends on how tall you are. There are enemies that actually go aggro. There are trolls that go aggro depending on your gender. So the female trolls go aggro if you're male, and then the male trolls go aggro if you're female. What is it? There is a hidden romance system in the game, and you have people who constantly went back to the first village, the starter village, and kept going to the first blacksmith to get their equipment upgrade and everything. So when they beat the game, your character marries a blacksmith, to which they were confused. And it's like, no, that's who you kept talking to. So now he is your husband. Good job.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Which is fine, because the regular romance option is your cousin. So, you know, I think.
Whoa, I think, it's set in Alabama.
It's that weird goofy thing where, like, you talk to her and she calls, like, your dad her uncle. So but you also live in a village of like 30 people. So, of course, it's like your cousin, and it's also Japan, so.
That Alabama shit was also door. Probably happening a lot in medieval times, you know?
Yeah. You know, game start. I mean, who really cares? You marry your cousin, your heart gets eaten by a dragon. I mean, what do you expect from this goddamn game?
The intro to the game is, like, incredible. It's one of those, like, holy shit, they really did that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for 2. Because 2 establishes there's a new enemy besides the dragon that you're supposed to kill, which is just which is also a big Attack on Titan creature, and it does the same thing as Breath of the Wild, where you can just straight up go and fight it. And it also is that thing, which has also been on the show, Mike. It also does that thing with from Infamous 2, so you can look on the map where it's at and go to the area and see what villages the main villain has destroyed.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you could completely, I'm assuming there's a point where you can completely fuck up your game and be like, okay, here's a village. I'm going to go do a side quest. Oh, I waited too long to do the side quest. And the monster that is the main villain for the game has destroyed that village. So I have now locked myself out of finishing that side quest.
Side quest is okay as long as you're not locked out of main content. But yeah, it's still a little annoying.
And at that point, just look on the roof.
Right. And Nate, do you have anything else to mention?
Okay, I got one quick one, and then I got two quick ones, okay?
Okay.
One is Resident Evil Remake. I've been playing that off and on as well. Yeah, the first one. Have you guys played that?
Yeah, we did it for the show long, like 30-something, different cast, but yes.
That's a good game.
It is
a good game. That's such a good game, dude. I've been doing a real survival run, because I thought, what better way to budget better in 2024 than to platinum all the Resident Evil games on PlayStation?
Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. But even he could not save me from Yawn, that bitch-ass snake poisoning me every time, because I'm just trying to, like, you know, I won't lie. A lot of the platinums I go for, I look up a guide beforehand to just kind of gauge, like, okay, how much time am I really going to invest in this? You still
have to do it. Like, just because the guide tells you what to do doesn't mean you just go, oh, I mean, run here, run back out. Like, yeah, the snake has other things to say about that.
So this, you know, this guy, Optinoob, was like, hey, just combine your real survival run with the speed run, because, like, you don't want to be killing things anyway on the hardest difficulty and make the game harder, you know? I was like, that's smart thinking. But this snake, dude, just fuck that snake. I had to reload a save, like, 10 times because he would always bite me. And I was like, please stop, like, and then I'm yelling at Richard. I'm like, kill the snake faster, dude. Like, why are you... You have a shotgun and you're shooting once, like, every 30 seconds. Like, just shoot him.
That worked? Did asking nicely work?
No, I had to reload an 11th time. but I eventually did it, and I was so pumped. And then I immediately went and saved the game. it's a really good game. It's on sale for $5 right now on Steam. If you haven't played it, it's Steam Deck verified. You should
play it. I don't need a whole lot, to be honest.
Resident Evil 1, I think, is really underrated. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. It's, you know, not, you know, 4, but actually, fuck 4. 1 is way better than 4.
4 is not only the perfect Resident Evil reboot, but also the perfect Resident Evil remake. But also, doubly also, speaking of that game, I think my favorite part of that, speaking of Richard's fucking punk ass, I love that you can save him. And he goes, oh, thank you for saving me, Jill. And you look at him and you go, dude, you've got like 2 Coke can size fucking holes going through. Like, your kidneys are falling out of your back.
Right.
Survive.
Which I agree with Colby. I think 1 is really underrated. I found a Saturn copy of the OG Resident Evil 1, and I've been playing that not often. Ever since I was like, I'll just get the Platinum and Remake, I stopped playing the Saturn version. But I was like, this just scratches, you know, my little kid brain of playing Resident Evil, you know, before school. beating the spider boss in the caverns and then leaving the PlayStation on because I had to go to the bus.
Yeah.
And I was really worried that there wasn't going to be a save and I didn't want to fight the spider boss again.
That is fair.
Yeah.
There's the DS version of Resident Evil 1 is surprisingly like really good.
That's my white whale. Like, I want that game.
I can tell you how to play it really easy and only cost you $30 and you get a whole bunch of other free games with it.
I want the case. I want the manual. And I don't want to pay a lot for it.
let me look through my games. I may still have the cartridge. I know that I don't have the case and manual, but I might have the cartridge. If I do, I will send it to you. You can have it.
I will pay you some money.
You will pay me to ship it to you, but other than that, you can have it.
Legitimately, my white whale, once I found out it existed, I was like, I have to play it.
I want to play it too.
It's really good. It's got the dumb DS like bullshit. Like, you have to use the screen for some puzzles, and like there's parts where you have to like blow into the microphone to do stuff. It has all of that like quirky DS stuff. And it also has the dumb name where I forget what it's called, but
it's called Deadly Silence.
Yes, Deadly Silence. It's got the DS, which I fucking hate, but is a really good version of that original Resident Evil.
I mean, that's why we got Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow.
I know.
That actually released on the DOS.
Jesus Christ.
Speaking of which, if you like Resident Evil and you haven't seen it, even though it's probably all over the fucking internet by now, go play this team completely recreated Resident Evil 2 remake with fixed camera angles and even revamped the system to have a lock on so it actually feels like you're playing RE2 remake like a fucking original Resident Evil game.
That's kind of cool.
Is that a mod?
It's a mod. PC? Oh, it's nice. A mod on PC, yeah. And it looks amazing. I'm sure Chelsea probably knows about it because the Residents of Vengeance or whatever that group YouTube group is called. Yeah, ROE. It's
Residents of Evil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They done it. She knows about it. She loves those guys.
Yeah. But yeah, it actually looks really cool and actually kind of makes you want to be like, oh, I might actually go back and replay RE2 remake again, even though it's like probably an okay remake.
RE2 is really good. It just scared the hell out of me, but
there's not
really good. I think the remake of 3 is underrated as well.
Yes.
That's a very fun one. It's got Jill. It's got Carlos. Carlos is looking fine in that game. That hair. Oh my God. Anyway, it's really good. And if you're bisexual and you want to just look at two fine ass mm-hmm. protagonists, mm-hmm. my goodness, you can't do any better than Jill and Carlos.
Yeah, that's right. I do have my shirtless mod on for RE3 for Carlos.
I'm not surprised.
And I am glad that they gave him chest hair for that mod, because Jesus Christ.
Oh man, he looks so fucking good in that game. Oh,
they did my boy a lot of bad rap because it's short. But
it's short. It's a Resident Evil game. Like when you make a Resident Evil game too long, you get Resident Evil 6 and it fucking sucks.
I like 6.
I want to
replay it. No, you do not.
I like 6 as well. But I will never replay it because I don't want to buy another DualShock controller.
Oh, did you break it during the game or something?
There are so many QTEs where you have to shake the stick.
Oh, it'll be on Steam Deck when I play it. So,
you're gonna have to buy a new Steam Deck.
Yeah. Like, I am not kidding. You have.
Maybe we'll play it on the PC with one of my cheap fake 360 controllers. Yeah, then
every action is like waggle the stick back and forth. And then do that for 12, 13 hours.
I'll play it with a fake 360 controller that I won't care about if it dies.
Yeah.
Those are like $20.
But I like RE6 because you can jump on your back and scoot back and shoot things. And I call it boot scoot boogie.
I played it once in 360 and I enjoyed it, but it's been a long time. Did you have any other games, Nate?
Yeah, just real quick, because I'm not that far in, but Dragon Quest VII, I've been playing. I bought that before the 3DS shop shut down.
Okay.
After Toriyama's untimely passing,
yeah,
go and play. I've only ever played Dragon Quest 1, So I was like, well, I guess the next one is Dragon Quest VII that I own, you know, so I'll play that.
Is a good game. It's just, it's very long from what I remember.
I was playing it the other night, laying in bed. I fell asleep in the middle of a battle. Just like, yeah, I don't know. It's cozy. A little too cozy, you know? Don't play it in bed.
It's very long from what I remember. My friend had it on PS1 back in the day.
See, yeah, I was looking into that, and they said that the 3DS version cuts out some of the fat that the PlayStation 1 had, but it's still like 80 hours.
It cuts out you having to grind.
Christ.
As much.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. I'm looking forward more to playing Dragon Quest VIII, but I'm very weird where I'm like, well, I have 7. I should play through that first.
It's better, but yes. Okay, and Colby, what are some other games you want to mention?
I only have one more game I want to talk about, and then actually I have to go, but that's okay because I haven't watched any movies or television. I've been playing a lot of NES lately. I don't know why. I think it's... I just got dumped, so I'm trying to make myself feel better by like playing stuff that I grew up with, and it's working pretty well.
You have to do sometimes.
But I've been playing Nintendo games, and I discovered the Goonies 2, which I never played as a kid, but was surprised to find out is a Metroidvania.
What?
Yeah.
Who knew?
I didn't until you posted about it.
And it's a decent one. Like it's got good controls. Like it has a story. I don't know if it's called the Goonies 2 because it's the second Goonies game, or if it's a sequel to the Goonies in game form, which would be so interesting. But you're like going around, you're rescuing the other Goonies from the Fratellis, which I thought died in the movie, but it's also been 20 years since I've seen the movie. I don't know which Goonie you are, but it's crazy. Like the level design is insane. Like I said, it's a Metroidvania, so you're grabbing, you know, power ups to get into areas that you couldn't get to before. It's got weird, like Shadowgate-y, like first person dungeon crawler sections. And like there will be like friendly NPCs and you can hit them with a stick and then they say hilarious things to you. Like it's just so it's like a really weird game. And I think it's almost magical how interesting an NES game can be because they didn't do it that much and they really didn't do it with licensed properties. So for them to have made a game that, like I said, might be a sequel to the movie on the NES and to have it be that weird is like something that blew my fucking mind.
I get that.
So what I'm saying is, since I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast has an NES emulator, I hacked my NES Mini. Like the classic, the mini classic thing. It's really easy to do, but that's where I've been playing it because then you get, since the cord is so long to those control or the cord is so short to those controllers, like I sit on my floor and look up like I did when I was a little kid. And, you know, you have that rectangle controller in your hand and it's like, this is great. I'm having a really good time with the Goonies 2 on the NES. So also I played the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one, way easier than I remembered. It's not good, but it's not as hard as I remembered. And then I was like, I wonder if Battletoads is easier than I remembered as well. So I went and played that. Still fuck Battletoads. Yep. Like I hate that game.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
But yeah, I would recommend giving the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game another shot because it has great music and it's not as hard as you remember it being. Never but also it. Also play the Goonies too.
I'm curious about that now.
I think you should at least check it out because I don't think you're going to have to play the whole thing. I don't know how long it is. I've played it for like 3 hours, but I think most of that 3 hours was just me running around that world going, why would they do this? This game is crazy, Joe. I think you would really like it.
Yeah, I love Metroidvanias.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't got you on one yet. I need to fix that.
But yeah, that's my games.
Okay. And where can people find you at, Kobe?
You can find me on Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. It's a scripted absurdist comedy show. We're just about to the end of this season. So just look for Jack Billings Presents. You'll find the new feed, which has both seasons on it. You can also find me at This Bizarre Adventure, which is a podcast where myself and my co-host B. Highland talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And you can also hear me on Games My Mom Found on a fairly regular basis now.
Yeah, you're on quite often now.
But that's it. So yeah, enjoy your TV. Just assume that I'm going to make fun of whatever you're watching.
Okay.
You cannot make fun of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It is perfect television.
All right. It's something, all right.
You know what? Maybe I'll just skip work tonight so I can make fun of you while you're doing it.
You're like, Kobe, why were you late? Well, I had to make fun of something.
I had to make fun of somebody for watching Guy Fieri.
Oh, have you guys seen my spiked tips? Fucking cool.
I was actually going to talk about the Madame Web movie as well. So
I want to hear about this. I know it's terrible.
I'll listen to this episode when it comes out because I also am very interested in the Madame Web movie. But yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, see you, man. Bye. I am curious about the Madame Web movie. I didn't want to go see it. I actually do, but I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think I have enough time.
Oh, it's okay. I won't spoil the big stuff, but it's pretty good. But before that, hey, what show you do want to talk about first? Because I have a whole segment that I have to do every time I come.
Oh yeah, I have just one movie to mention. I went and saw Labyrinth in theaters again.
The David 1980 Bowie
something movie? Yes.
Wow. All right.
It's my wife's favorite movie of all time, so it comes in theaters every so often. So we go every time.
And with all respect to your wife. Has she seen other movies or?
Yes. And that's really all I've watched. Like, I haven't really watched any. Well, no, I take that back. I was watching the Mission Impossibles. I ended up finishing 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. 7 was damn good. 5 was good. 6, they were all good. Other than 2, they're all really good.
2 is a guilty pleasure of mine.
It's fine. It's just not as good.
I've never seen any of them.
They're on Paramount right now, so.
They're good. I've only seen the first three, but
4 is like when everything changes.
That's like, I don't know. Like, I like the vibe of the first one a lot.
First one's
like
a perfect movie.
Espionage thriller kind of thing. And then just watching trailers for the new ones, I'm like, oh, it's James Bond.
Like, the newest one, yes. But no, they're fun. I never saw them, so I finally got that knocked off my list to watch. I enjoyed it. And I think 1 is a perfect movie. Actually, that's all I've been watching. So, Joe, you want to take it away?
Yes, it's Joe's Anime Corner. Joe's Anime Corner. We still haven't made a song yet. Joe's Anime Corner. Joe's,
I mean, I can record you singing, corner. And that can be the song, but I don't know if you want that.
No, don't do that. I've got three things. One's on Netflix, which has been a pretty good show, which is continuing on. I talked about it last time I was on here, which is Dungeon Meshi, which just proves that I should cook more in my house because cooking food in my house is delicious. But it's just the whole idea of it's the four main characters, which are your basic D&D group. The main character in the beginning isn't focused because he's hungry and his sister gets eaten by a dragon. And they basically establish that it takes a week for a dragon to digest its food. So as long as they can get there before the 7th day, they might be able to cut the dragon's stomach open and save his sister. And but they're so poor that they're basically going down there with just what they're wearing and sleeping supplies and stuff. And so they meet this guy named Senshi, who's a dwarf, and he's I can teach y'all how to use the dungeons the dungeon's enemies to make food. So every episode is two episodes, so you got the first half of the episode and second half of the episode, and it goes from everything from them making hot pot to ramen to a quiche and stews and stuff like that. It's always completely random and different. It's just it's really interesting and really cool, and I love it because a lot of the comedy, a lot of the comedy hits really well, and the person who makes it's known for having the characters make really goofy faces. The last episode that I remember is they. They're trying to get through a staircase, and it's covered in like vines, but they notice that the frogs don't have vines. The frogs aren't bothered by the vines. So they skin the frogs and put them on. And the girl's like, I don't want to wear fucking frog skin. And they all go, but you'll look really cute if you put it on. So she ends up wearing it, and she's pissed off the whole fucking time. And they have they have a halfling with them, and he looks like he's in a trash bag, which is even fucking funnier.
But it's
a great series on Netflix. I usually don't recommend watching series in English, but I've been watching it in English, and the voiceover cast is fantastic. The second one, which I put in the group a little bit while back, but I have a weird question for both of y'all. Do y'all like John Wick?
I haven't seen half the first one.
Well, what if John Wick was a ninja, and when you go like a ninja, like a regular ninja? No, I mean like full ass Naruto ninja, where he can like spit fucking fog from his mouth and like just do all kinds of other goofy shit. Max has been airing an Adult Swim original anime called Ninja Kamui, where like the first episode is just essentially just building up that this guy loves his life and he loves his wife and his kid, and then he gets home, he wakes up one night and his fucking family is brutally murdered because they are a ninja clan who has left. And I guess even funnier, because the story even lines up with now, which is basically in Japan ninjas existed, and they're like, all right, we're selling the ninja rights to America. If you can either come with us to America and be a ninja there, or you can decide to leave. But if you leave, we will kill you. And they're like, okay. And that's where the main character is that he left with his wife because they were in love and they couldn't have a relationship. And so they end up having a kid together and they all just got brutally murdered.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch that soon on Max before they take it off for a tax write off.
They post the episode when it airs Saturday night on Adult Swim. So I'm very much watching every episode as it comes out before they go, oh, they air the last episode, and they just ripped it off fucking HBO Max.
Like Watchmen.
Yeah. And the last one I've been watching is just what is essentially a building brick for every anime now, which is Solo Leveling, where the main character basically is that you live in a world where dungeons exist, and you can go have your power level scaled, and it goes from like E to S, and he's an E-rank adventurer, and he's so shitty and so weak that he can't do anything and blah 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 and all this other stuff. And so they end up finding a dungeon where like half the crew gets massacred, and so he lets the leader and his childhood friend escape, and like right before he gets killed, like the enemies stop and he ends up being reborn again, and now he's just like superly overpowerful, and then he gets like a game menu that no one else can see.
Okay.
But that's the three animes that I've been watching recently, all pretty fucking good.
Okay, and before we do the last thing, Nate, do you have any TV or movies you want to mention?
Legitimately, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Okay, if you're enjoying it, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, hey, well, my partner, anytime we go out of town for something, which isn't too often anymore, but like whenever we stay at a hotel, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is always on, so we would just watch it at the hotel. And then we found there's 46 seasons on HBO Max, and we have to watch it chronologically. There is Guy, I won't even try to pronounce his last name because I'm just going to say Fieri. Guy, like when the show first started, he kept trying to like make out of bounds a thing. So he would be like, brother, that chicken cordon bleu is out of bounds. And it quickly ends. Like, it's like, it obviously does not catch on. But yeah, it's just comfort TV. Nice to watch. That's really, oh, and then we watched Next Level Chef, which is an absurd show, really. It's three levels. So there's like the top kitchen, which has all the best of the best stuff in it. There's the middle kitchen, which is like fine. And then there's the basement, which has like broken utensils, you know, and like they have
to. It's a fast food restaurant.
Almost. Yeah. But they're in the third season. And in the first episode, there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a social media chef, you know. And like they always introduce themselves, and he's like, hey, I'm Jordan. It's like, I don't think it's Montana, but he's like, I live in Montana with my wife, you know, and I'm a rapper. And then, you know, he's like, my wife always supports me. She said, you should go show everyone that you can cook. And I was like, damn, dude, the raps have to be that bad for her to just be like, oh, I don't think these are the raps you should be making, you know, like, but it's a fun show. Richard Blaze looks like he needs to get some fucking sleep, though. He always has bags under his eyes.
I don't really have a show that me and my wife are watching right now. We're trying to watch Star Trek Next Generation, but that's going really slow. We watched one episode of the new Avatar show, but that was it. I've been too busy recording the live action one? Yeah, I've been way too busy recording lately.
I will say, too, it's been taking me forever to watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but I'm in Stone Ocean right now, and anytime I watch it, I'll just go watch one episode, and then I watch like four. The show's good. Really good. I like it a lot.
Well, yeah, okay. you watch four. It's usually how it goes, because usually three or four episodes are where the arc is, right? Like a whole stand fight.
Yeah. I mean, not so in the beginning of the seasons, I feel like. Like, a lot of the beginning episodes are like introducing the characters in their stand, so it's like a one-off episode, you know? But yeah, a lot of times there's four arc. My favorite thing is finding the difference, like how they had to dub the stands. Yeah. Because like in Japan, they're all based on like band names, and you can't do that here. So like,
yeah, copyright.
Yeah, they have to like find ways to get around it. So like one stand will be named like Red Hot Chili Pepper, and they'll be like, watch out for my stand, Hot Spice, you know. Like, it's ridiculous. It's so good. It's just a goofy show too.
Okay.
One day, Nate, you and Mr. Colby, if you're listening to this as well, one day we'll end up making Mike watch the entire JoJo series, especially because that series is a reference to like pretty much every most media.
I'm curious about it. I'm sure my wife would be happy to watch it with me, but I just will see.
The only downside is, which usually everyone complains about, and I usually say too, the first season is just really, really not slow, but is just kind of there, which is the Phantom Blood and the Battle Fantasies. But it's just really important to the main story anyway, so you can't not skip it.
Right. It's not as interesting as the later stuff.
Okay, let's go to the last thing then. And I'm assuming you're the only person that can talk about it, Joe, because I haven't seen it, and I doubt Nate has.
Oh yeah, so I saw Madam Web with my friends, and it sure was a fucking movie. Just a movie. There's a lot of good points to the movie and a lot of bad. Mike knows because I actually bitched about it for a while back there. But just to have a movie start off going with, my mom was in the Amazon researching spiders while she was pregnant with me, ends up being like a whole line of dialogue and just like this goofy shit. And as much as I don't want to spoil it, it's just a fun fact. So if you are genuinely interested in the movie, just end the podcast here and then go see it. But she talks about how she has to find this spider, and she never says why in the beginning. And they're like, okay, well, we'll go look for it. And they end up finding it. And her partner, when I found out who it was, I actually had to like muffle my scream because of how pissed off it was. Her partner's fucking Ezekiel Sims, who
I don't know who he is in the Spider-Man world.
He's basically the spider totem, which basically goes in the whole thing of like, oh yeah, the reason why Spider-Man exists is because there's some kind of weird nature thing going on.
From the Spider-Verse comics with the vampire guys that want to eat Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's in the Spider-Verse stuff. It's also a point to where he's also sometimes in the comics, and he also is in his own comic too, where he's another character. But they made him the bad guy in this for some reason, and they gave him like a really stupid like. Was it WB-esque, like, fucking...
He looks like Spider-Man.
Yeah, he does look like Spider-Man, but as much as I've seen this movie, I don't want to jump over the place, I would love to see a horror Spider-Man movie, which I guess now someone heard my prayers, so I guess that loops back around.
I was going to say, something non-profit fan film was announced yesterday.
Yeah, because she's with Ezekiel Sims, and she finds a spider, and he straight up just shoots her in the fucking chest, and he's like, I need this spider. I feel like he's dubbed over, which is how weird it is. But he's like, I need this spider for money, and I need money so I'll no longer be who I once was, and I will never go back. And then he just leaves.
Okay. So it's about a guy who doesn't want to be poor. All right.
So what were you gonna say, Nate?
I was gonna say I haven't seen it, but I know when it came out, there was a lot of like, I would like TikToks of people like, here's how the villain and Madam Web talked, and they would talk. And then, like, a dub would play, like, halfway through them talking. Like, and I'm like, is it really that noticeable? You know, is it that bad?
It's super noticeable. But so she's laying there dying. And I shit you not, you see these dudes running through the trees. And, like, you see them fall and, like, attack all the other people. It's dudes who are painted head to foot in red paint, and then they dyed vines black and put it over themselves. And I shit you not, it looks like the Spider-Man suit from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man. And I'm like, I'm like having a panic attack because this, it's like actually fucking really interesting. Because they're like, oh yeah, the spider gives them like super sense and lets them jump around. So they end up taking the mom to like a fucking cave, and she gets bit by a spider. But they took too long, so she doesn't survive. But she survived the childbirth, and that's where you have I think her name's like Veronica Webb or something like that. I don't fucking remember.
I'm surprised it's still in theaters. I kind of want to take my son to go see it, but I don't know if he'll like it.
It's a movie.
Yeah, I don't want it to be our first movie ever see together as Madam Webb.
Yeah, but there, you know, Uncle Ben's introduced as her EMT sidekick, and he's like, you should come to my sister's baby shower because you don't have any female friends.
And, played by Adam Scott. Let's not bury the lead here.
Yeah, no, he, and you know what, though? He does a great fucking Uncle Ben. And
oh, I'm sure.
If you told me that he is the Uncle Ben to Andrew Garfield, I 100% believe that. But so like, and then like something happens. I forget. Like she like falls into like the fucking New York fucking ocean or something. And so she ends up unlocking her powers, and you see a big S for Spider-Man in her vision. And they end up saving her, and she ends up keep having deja vu, which is weird because like the first time it happens, I understand. But like there's a really awkward scene where she goes to the baby shower, and I'm Ben's sister. And they keep mentioning that she's Ben's sister. I'm not May, but I forget what her fucking name is. But she's like, I'm Ben's sister and I'm pregnant and my husband's not here. Did I mention I'm Ben's sister and I'm pregnant? And oh, Ben can't wait to be an uncle. He's so excited to be an uncle. Like, you have no idea how excited Ben is to be an uncle. And they have like a really
awkward... this was, I just want to ask, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this was Ben's sister who was pregnant?
Yeah, this is Ben's sister who was pregnant during her baby shower. Yeah. And okay. So they end up doing this whole thing where they're like, well, you know, what do you like about your mom? And she's like, straight up stone face. She's like, I don't have a mom. My mom died in the Amazon. And they're like, oh. And they get an emergency call for like a fireworks stand or a fireworks factory blowing up. And like their friend dies and she feels bad because she saw it because she's Madam Web. And so she ends up being on leave and she's on a train. And this is where the movie also gets really interesting because she saw these three characters earlier, and the three girls who the main villain. Oh, yeah. The main villain is upset because he has a vision of three women who are spider people, like straight up there from the comics, coming to come kill him. And I shit you not, his reasoning why is they're like, so why do you want to kill these women? And he's like, well, I really like being evil, and I can't continue to be evil and make money if I'm dead. So I'm going to find them and kill them so I can continue to be evil and make money.
This sounds awful.
It is awful. But whenever he goes to kill them, it's like a vision first. And like they complete, it's honestly terrifying to think that if Spider-Man was evil, like he just walks up to like two people and just snaps them in half like a fucking Twinkie. It's absolutely fucking terrifying.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Strong.
But you know, the movie's about, you know, her becoming a mother and realizing that her being a motherly bond and all this other stuff ends up being good, and she ends up saving the girls and stopping evil Spider-Man. And there's a part where she splits herself into three ghost versions of herself to save all three girls. Doesn't make any fucking sense, but it happens in the movie.
Okay. I still kind of want to see it, even though I won't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's good for a movie. Don't pay full price, and don't, like, I saw it on fucking matinee. So like I went on a Tuesday and paid like $5 for it.
Oh, that's a good price. Especially you went stone too. So.
Oh yeah. That also helped.
You're remembering a lot for a stone guy.
Yeah, well, like I said, the movie was pretty okay. Honestly, it feels like someone made, like, the WB's Flash. It feels like someone wrote a TV show for that and then was like, oh, we don't want it. So they're like, fine, I'll just fucking make a movie. And they made a movie, and it was just okay. But, like, all the references, there's a part when she goes back. She somehow goes back to the Amazon to talk to the guy that saved her mom. And he straight up says, like, you know, sometimes you have a responsibility. And when you have that responsibility, you have to do great things with it. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, movie. Okay, that wasn't funny. I hate you. But yeah, that was my tangent for Madam Web.
Okay. It's everything we have, isn't it?
Wait, The Black Coat's Daughter.
What?
That's a movie I watched.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is it? It's about?
It's a horror movie. It's on HBO Max. Do not watch a trailer for it. Just watch the movie. It's about an hour and a half long. It's really good. Very creepy. And it's really good. Okay. I don't watch a lot of scary movies nowadays. Because I have to be, you know, like if a demon does infest my house, like I have to deal with it, you know? So, yeah.
My wife wants me to go see that imaginary movie. And I'm just like, no.
I haven't seen any trailers for that either.
I haven't either.
Looks creepy as fuck.
But the director of The Black Coat's Daughter is named, his name is Oz Perkins. He is Anthony Perkins' child from Psycho. Not that Anthony Perkins had him on Psycho, but the Anthony Perkins who plays Norman Bates. And it got put on my radar because there was like a viral ad, I guess, for his new movie called Long Legs. That was like really kind of a surreal, like minute and a half trailer for it. I was like, I have to know what this is. And yeah, it's really good.
Okay. That's everything. So we'll just wrap this up. And Nate, where can we find you at?
For now, you can find me on TikTok at NateBuzzComedy79. I am there. I'm going to be posting some new sets soon. I finally got the recordings back, so that'll be fun. And until, you know, the U.S. says no more TikTok because it's bad, I guess.
Communism. I think that's what the freak problem is. Isn't it supposed to be that they're worried that TikTok is like harvesting your data and it's a Chinese company or something, right?
Yeah, but they also harvest our data. So who
gets it? Everything does. Harvest our data and Facebook harvests our data and Twitter.
No, I got an ad for Batman Forever when we were recording Batman Forever.
My children harvest my data.
It's just the world we live in. Like, I think it's more of just an excuse because didn't it start during the Trump era?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of China. So
I think it was 2020. It started. Era. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So that whole bill they're introducing is them just basically being like, hey, we don't want China buying your data. And it's just like, well, then what do you want to do? Then it goes, we feel more comfortable if America's buying your data. So if it's not American made, you can't make it or you can't look at it.
I don't think that's going to happen. So,
well, also, Texas banned porn today. So,
nuh-uh.
Yeah, that passed.
It's not like anyone's going to stop watching porn just watching porn.
So, like, all the porn sites, of which I don't know any, have shut down, and I guess they're going to sue the state of Texas, but they want you to upload an ID whenever you go. Like, that's what the bill is basically, like, if you go to watch porn, you have to upload an ID.
Why?
And it's like, why? Exactly.
That sounds fucking terrifying.
It does. And I'm like, aren't these the same people who are worried that the government is going to take their guns? Like,
yes.
You know, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? The
government can't take your guns, but they can take your right hand.
Just right. Okay. And well, so, hey, left hand too. All right, Mike, this is an inclusive podcast. I think, though, like, if that actually does pass, I want the data on senators. You know, so like we can be like, it says here that you're against same-sex marriage, but you watched gay porn like all weekend. So like you're not that much against it, are you?
You'd be surprised how often that keeps fucking happening.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All the time.
That's why people do it, because they're in the, you know, they're in the closet about how they feel, so they hide it by being
assholes. Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious. I mean, that's so fucking stupid.
It's so stupid, dude.
That sounds like something Trump would have done. Yeah. But even then, VPNs exist, people, so it doesn't matter. Like, if that really comes, they can just VPN. I'm not in Texas. I'm in Chicago. All right. Here you go. All right, let's wrap this up. If you enjoyed this episode, there's over 600 other episodes of the podcast. We do What Are You Playing every month. We've been doing it for almost 3 years, I think, at this point. So you can go look at that. You can go on Podbean and search whatever you want. Type in Batman. Type in What Are You Playing? You'll find a lot of our old catalogs. We'll definitely go enjoy that. There's tons of content to go listen to. And if you want to support the show, we do a Patreon. Little Dog, vote in our Patreon poll. You'll see a link in the show notes. Every month we have a poll or two polls lately. And please join our Discord. You'll see a link in the show notes for that. We always need more people to join us and chat with us. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy of Helena at Hell Hasphere. You can follow her on TikTok, Twitch, Instagram. You'll see a link to her link tree in the show notes. And give a shout out to Bill Tucker at GamerLooksF40. Definitely go check him out. And check out Nomads of Fantasy and the 10 Domain podcast. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube, audio only. And please review us wherever you get us. That helps a lot. So I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.